Why don't you go ahead and shake somebody's hand on your road? Just look around and tell them it's good to see them here tonight. We're going to have a great night of freedom, great night of worship. We're excited about what the Lord's going to do here tonight. Hallelujah.
Forever. souls. If that's my soul, and hope eternal won't let go. My daddy raced at Calvary, 'cause Jesus, Jesus rescued me. Jesus, Jesus rescued me. I will sing forever of your love come. And with my hands to heaven, and whoa, 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 whoa. Now there's a hope beyond the sky. A song we'll sing for all of time. The grave is empty. I am free. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me.
To say thank you to the King of Kings, who's done more for us than we've ever imagined. Give him these next moments of your life and watch what he'll do in you. Oh, Jesus, we worship.
Let my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. The King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song.
You are good, good, so good. You are good, good, so good.
Oh, he's good.
Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, and oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves, and oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Who is my soul?
You are good, good, so good. You are good, good, so
very good.
You are good, good. you're never gonna let me down.
Oh, Jesus. Come on, get this in your heart today. Sing.
You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Oh, we sing it out.
Take a moment, just take a moment, church, all over this place, and thank him for the good things he's done. Right now, just with your own words, your own voice, just begin to thank God. You know, sometimes it's not easy to worship. Sometimes it's easy to just kind of stare off into space. But when we forget about all that and we begin to focus on the things of God, we never, ever, ever lose. We never, ever regret giving God our attention. So go ahead and just do that right now. Just close your eyes. Begin to focus on the God who saved you. Focus on the God who gave you a new life, a new hope, a reason to exist, a reason to get up in the morning. And tonight, if you don't have those things, I'm telling you, God is your answer. But we're going to worship him just one more time. We're going to praise him for what he's done, for how he's brought us from nothing to something. Because everybody in here is something. And he's worthy to be praised for that very reason. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're worthy, Jesus. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears. They laid him down. By heavy stone, Messiah stood, and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, oh Lord, oh Lord our God. Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, tremble. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints. My gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Amen. So let's just lift up our hands. He deserves everything that we have tonight and more. So let's just lift up our hands and begin to declare this over your life right now. Go ahead, sing it out. Hallelujah.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forever.
You are mighty, that you are worthy to be praised. God, we just give you all of the glory. We give you all of the honor. Lord, you are so worthy to be praised, and we thank you for moving in this place. God, I pray for every person that is here tonight. Lord, I pray for whatever circumstance they may be going through, Lord, that they see, God, no matter what, through it all, that you are good, that you are good. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't you go ahead and high five somebody tonight before you have a seat and welcome them here on this Easter evening. Well, amen. God is good. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Kelly, and I'm the children's pastor here. And did you guys enjoy the kids coming out this morning? That was a lot of kids coming out, and I'm so thankful. Thank you for all the children in this church and for all you parents. How many of you have a kid that's in Kids on the Move here tonight? Raise your hand. Wow. Thank you to all of you that bring them out each and every week. It's an honor to be able to teach them about Jesus. So we have a lot of things coming up here at the church this week. So I'm going to give you all of the things that are happening. So Wednesday night, it's our first Wednesday night, and it's actually going to happen. Isn't that awesome? I was looking at the forecast and there's no snow. I knew I would get some like hand claps over that. But honestly, anybody that knows me knows that I really like snow and I'm actually like ready for it to go away. So you know it's time. You know it's time when Kelly says it's time for the snow to go away. But Wednesday night, 7 o'clock is our first Wednesday night service, and we have something for everybody. So we had kids in the Epic Center and in the Fellowship Hall will be Ignite and Soul Fire. And then in here for everybody else that's, you know, going up on the age spectrum of things. You come in here and you're going to have a wonderful service. Then on Saturday, ladies, we have a breakfast for you at Jeff's Catering. And you can make sure that you sign up tonight. You can pay tonight or you can pay when you go. So make sure that you sign up. It's a great opportunity for you to meet other ladies in the church. And then next Sunday, say next Sunday. Next Sunday, it is 80s night for all of the volunteers. And it is going to be awesome. Anybody got their outfit yet for 80s night? Nice. There's some hands that are up. So you still have a week. So, you know, you got to bring back the ladies with, like, the scrunchies and the bright colors and all those things. It's going to be awesome. So make sure that you come out and join us for that next Sunday night, 5 o'clock, out in the Epic Center. And then the last announcement is Soul Fire Youth Group. Coming up, you're going to be going to convention. And give some loud noises for the youth group. Woohoo! We have some excited people. That's awesome. So make sure you get all the information that you need from Pastor Paul or Heather. I was thinking about the youth events that I used to go on, and I always loved like the van ride to any event. I don't know why, but I think that was just like the exciting part. We used to jump over the seats and do, you know, like probably stuff you shouldn't do, right? Paul is telling me to stop saying that. But come and enjoy it. It's so much fun to be able to get together with your friends in a different kind of atmosphere. And I've heard that those services are really great. So make sure you check it out and you get the information from Pastor Paul. All right, ushers, if you would like to make your way down this evening. You know, I was thinking about how great God is. Do any of you, when you're just kind of driving along in the car, you just begin to think about the goodness of the Lord? And this week, or actually just today, out at Kids on the Move, there was probably, I would say, at least 30 kids that came down and gave their heart to Jesus this morning. I asked for the kids to come down, and they just kept coming. It was awesome. It was so good. And not only that today, but then I was thinking about on Tuesday during Epic Kids, I had two kids in the public school system give their hearts to Jesus right in the public school. So it's so wonderful that on Sundays, on Tuesdays, on Wednesdays, on Thursdays, that we're able to take what you give here tonight and use that to spread the word, to spread the gospel everywhere that we go. And I just want to say thank you for being such a blessing to the kids in this church, to all over the world, in Haiti, the different things that we're able to do. It's because you are giving. So, and you know, when you give, the word says you give and you shall receive, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And that just takes an act of giving. So tonight, no matter what situation you are in with your finances, I'm going to pray for you that God blesses you, blesses your home and your finances. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for how good you are. You are so good to us. God, and I pray for every person that's here tonight. God, maybe they're struggling in finances. God, we know that you help us, that you give us wisdom, and that you bless us. So I pray for every situation, every family that's represented. God, that you will bless them, that you will bless their home, that you will bless everything that they give here tonight. We thank you for what you're doing in this church, in this community, and in this world, God. And we know that you have great things in store. And we say thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. God bless you in your giving tonight. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for his presence here. God's good, isn't he? How good is he? What's he worth? He's worth everything to us. We're so grateful. Thank God for his presence. I'm just looking you over. Praise God. Some of you had a lot of carbohydrates and salt for lunch. I can tell by looking at you. It's not good for you. It's not good for you. But we're going to work it out of you. Praise God. Just go ahead and look over at somebody just right or left. Say, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. Let's sing it. Well, God is so good.
God is so good. God is so good. He's so
to rise to your feet, if you would please. If you would please, preparing our hearts by faith for the word of God tonight. We're not here for routine, we're here for an encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You say, how do you know that? Because I've experienced it. Amen. How many of you are a testimony of the answered prayer that we have tonight? Amen. Amen. Let's sing it one more time that way. And by faith declare it that tonight he'll answer your prayer. God answers prayer. Before this night is over, we're going to ask God to answer some prayers tonight. together, everybody on your feet. God is so good. God is so good. What a simple but powerful truth. God is so good. He's so good to me. God is so good. When you sing that, you welcome His goodness tonight. God is so good. Felt worthy of His goodness, but do you realize tonight that it's the blood of Jesus that makes you worthy of His goodness? Amen. That makes us worthy, and I'm grateful for that. Praise God. Say it with me. God's good. Amen. God's good. I don't know who wrote the song, but they must have been partly Italian. He's so good. Oh, so good. I want you to stay standing if you would and help me welcome our evangelists tonight. We love Nate, Marianne, Matthew, and Lillian. Lily, we thank God for them. They are now, they've changed. Now, he's still Portuguese. I think you'll pick up on that. But they're no longer city dwellers. They've moved out here into the promised land. They've left Egypt. It was called the city of Bangor, the land of bondage. No, the land of bondage would be Portland. Bangor is more the wilderness, but Corinth, that's the promised land right there. How many of you are glad you're a country boy, country girl, country folks? How many country folks we have here? Well, yes, Shabub. Now Nate Pimentel's a country boy. Amen. And we love him so much. Thank God. He's traveling all over the world. God's opening international doors for him. And members of our church, we love him so much. Grateful. We can't wait to partner with them on their trip to India. And he's going all over many other places. So I do think that this move, this home, and it's a great testimony that you've shared with us. But it's going to be a great place of peace and raise your family. And you can have the best of both worlds. A wonderful place to raise your family and a place that you can travel from to go all over the world. Not many roads lead to Charleston, but all roads in Charleston lead everywhere all over the world. Let Nate Pimentel know you love him if you would, please. Let's hear, welcome the Word of God.
Well, bless the Lord. I told a couple of friends of mine, I said, growing up, I was used to seeing squirrels in my backyard, and now I see deer. And I told my wife, I said, these are squirrels on steroids. I've never seen anything like this in my backyard. But it is amazing what God has done for the Pimentel family. And when we sing that song, that God is good, God has been good to us. Because not too many years ago, when I was, 17, 18 years old, I gave my life to Christ. And that was the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. And I can tell you, now that I'm be 37 in 2 weeks, I can tell you, 18 plus years after I gave my life to Christ, I wouldn't trade it for the world. God's good. God will always be good. I remember growing up, they used to scare you into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you what. There's more things to be thankful for than to be scared off into having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you serve God and when you work for God, I'll tell you this, and you can take it to the bank. Your better days are not behind you, but your better days are ahead of you. Can somebody say amen? And if God has been good to you, go ahead and put your hands together and give God the best shout that you've ever had. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you magnify, you see what happens is a lot of people magnify the problem over God. And when you magnify the problem over God, the problem becomes greater than the God that you serve. But the moment you begin to magnify God, even when you don't feel like it, because let me tell you what, most of the time, you're not going to want to feel like praising God. But when you make yourself praise God and make your body get into subjection to your spirit and praise God in those moments, even when you don't feel like it, I'll tell you what, every problem begins to shrink under the name of Jesus. Can somebody say amen? And I believe today, David said, like in Psalm chapter 27, verse 13, I am confident I will see the goodness of the Lord while I'm in the land of the living. And you haven't come tonight just to hear about my problems or to hear about what everybody else is going through, but you came tonight because you want to experience the goodness of the Lord over your life. And if you believe that to be true, put your hands together and shout hallelujah. You can go ahead and take your seats. I'm not going to make you stand the rest of the service. But it's an honor and a privilege to be here in Charleston Church. I was just telling a few people earlier today, I've been out of Charleston back during the week since mid-February. Went down south. And this is actually the first week that I have not been on the road since mid-February preaching. And this is the last week that I will be home until I get back from the nation of India at the end of July, August 1st. And so God has opened up many doors for us. And I just wanted to share and take like 2 minutes just to let you know where God has opened doors for us to go preach. I remember a few years ago I prayed and I said, Lord, you need to open the nations of the world up to us. I'm thankful for the many opportunities that we've had all over North America, here in the U.S. and in Canada. I said, but I feel like there's more for me. And I'm asking you, Lord, to open the nations of the world to us. And within 8 hours of that conversation, I spoke with somebody from Faith Bible College who's from India. And I got the invitation to go over to India. And I knew that that was just the beginning of what God had for us. Well, this year in 2018, I'll be going in just about a month, 2 months, I believe. I'll be going over to the Netherlands, over to Europe for the first time since I was a little boy and moved here from Portugal. But I'll be going back to Europe, to the Netherlands to go preach. And I'm excited about that because it's going to be in a tent outside of the city of Amsterdam where the services are geared strictly towards winning the lost. And so if you think of my family and I, would you just pray for us so that we would see many souls come to know Jesus Christ? Who would have ever thought that here in Charleston, Maine, a little town in the northeast of the United States of America, would be affecting so many lives all over this world? And not only will we be going to the Netherlands in the month of May, but right before I go to India, which is July, I think like 19th through the 30th, a few days before that, I just got the invitation from July 7th through July 11th, I'll be going to Cuba. To go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ there. So we're going in for a few days and then we're coming right back out. And so pray for us as we go into Cuba, go into Europe and go into India to preach the gospel. I believe this year is going to be the greatest year that we've ever had. I believe we're going to see greater results, greater miracles, greater healings, and greater salvations in the name of Jesus. Can somebody say amen? But tonight I'm here with you, and I felt the Lord impressed in my heart to speak with you. A message that I'll be honest with you this evening, that I have spoken before, but when I got the invitation to speak this morning, I immediately felt prompt in my spirit to speak what I'm going to speak to you tonight. And the title of what, if I were to title anything, my message, or if I were to give it a title, it would be that Jesus is greater than the storm. Now, I'm only 37 years old, and I know there are people here that have lived for much longer than I, and there are others that haven't lived as long as I have. But one thing that could be true of all of us is this, that in life, we all have experienced unexpected storms in our life. And I haven't come to preach to you about the unexpected storm and to bring discouragement and preach disappointment into you. But I've come to unite my faith with yours and let you know, regardless of how great the storm is that you may be going through, I want you to leave this place tonight knowing that the God you serve is greater, He's bigger, and He's stronger than any storm that you will ever face in life. Can somebody say amen? For some of you, it may be anxiety. For some of you, it may be stress. Some of you may be bound by a secret addiction that nobody knows about. Others may be battling a sickness or a disease in their body. Some people may know about it. Other people may not know about it. The doctor may have given you a diagnosis, not a good one, that says you're not going to make it. You only have a limited amount of time. But I've come to tell you tonight, we're going to believe the report of the Lord, and God's report Lord says tonight, the victory belongs to you. That healing is yours. That deliverance is yours. And freedom is yours in the name of Jesus. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Now, if you're already with me, if you came expecting, I guarantee you, you will not leave this place without feeling the touch of God over your life. And so if you have your Bibles with you this evening, I'd like for you to turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And we're going to begin reading at verses 35 through 41. But Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. Again, I've titled my message, Jesus is greater than the storm. But like I said just a few moments ago, I am not going to spend 45 minutes to an hour. Some of you are like, an hour? Is that how long he's going to preach for? No, I'm going to try to cut it within a half hour, because I've realized in the last few years, I've become a very long-winded preacher. And I realized that not as many people like long-winded messages like I do. And so, but within the next half hour, the next 45 minutes, I'm not going to be preaching to you on the storms of life. I'm not going to be preaching to you disappointments and discouragements. It reminds me once of hearing somebody preach on Facebook. They put their message up and they spoke for 24 minutes. And for 23 and a half of those minutes, all he preached about was discouragement. All he preached about was disappointment. And then the last 30 seconds of his message, he ends off like this: but I've got good news for you. We've got Jesus. Well, I know we've got Jesus, genius, but for the last 23 minutes and a half, all you talked about was disappointments and discouragements, and you never told me the solution to the problem. And I understand you come to church not because you want to know what the problem is. You want, because some of you, if you'd be honest with yourself, you've got some problems in life. You're going through some difficulties in life. But we haven't come here to magnify the difficulty or the problem. We've come here to magnify that Jesus is greater than any difficulty and any problem that you may ever face. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And so Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. If you think I'm loud, forgive me, I'm Portuguese. But Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. Reading out of the New Living Translation, this is what the Bible says. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." And so they took Jesus in the boat and they started out, leaving the crowds behind. Although other boats followed, but soon a fierce storm came up. And high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. And Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. And the disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And verse 41 says, even the disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other, "that even the winds and the waves obey him." And as you can tell this evening from my title of the message that I'm delivering to you tonight, I want to concentrate mainly on verse 35, where it says, "As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's cross on over to the other side of the lake.'" Now, I think it's very important before we get into the text of tonight that we would see and understand that moments before this event, we see Jesus teaching his disciples and revealing a very powerful truth, the Bible says, in the form of a parable, where he likens the word of God to a seed. Now, if you're here this evening and you have no understanding or knowledge of how a seed operates, you may find it strange that Jesus would liken the word of God to a seed, because to the natural eye, when you look at a seed, there's nothing spectacular about the seed. But what I understand is this: what makes the seed so spectacular and what makes the seed so powerful is not what it looks like. But what makes the seed so great is what it carries. And what a seed carries is the potential to produce an abundance of what it represents. Can somebody say amen? And so, for example, if you look at the seed of an apple, it doesn't look like much to the natural eye. But in that little tiny seed is everything that it needs to produce an abundance of apples. We go a step further. In that tiny seed is an apple tree that is ready to come forth. And so even though that seed may be small and insignificant in the hands of those who are not farmers, that seed becomes very powerful in the hands of those who know how to pull out what it contains. And so it's the same way with the Word of God. Jesus likens the Word of God to seed. And God's Word is a seed that may seem small and insignificant to those who are of this world. But when the Word of God is placed into the hands of those who are called believers, it becomes very powerful in the hands of those who know how to pull out what it contains. Can somebody say amen? And so one way that you pull on the Word of God is through your expectancy. Because if truth be told, miracles do not just happen by chance, but miracles happen because someone was pulling on the Word of God by their expectancy. So many preachers I've heard, ever since I was a little boy growing up in church, I've heard them say it on Christian television, that expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles. And I am fully convinced tonight that expectancy will create the atmosphere for miracles to be loosed in your life. Can somebody say amen? And so you see, the difference between those that receive and those that don't receive is their expectancy. Because whether you realize it or not tonight, what you see in life is a result of what you expect. When the storms of life come your way, you're either going to expect, I'm going to make it through the storm, or I'm going to die in the middle of the storm. When the storms of life come into your life, you either expect, I'm not going to make it, or you either believe, I'm going to make it to the other side. Can somebody say amen? See, it's the same way when you come to church. I see a bottle of water over here. Oh. I thought my wife was going to catch that, but she didn't. She just made me look foolish. It's all right. Wives can do that to husbands that are preachers. Can somebody say amen to that? But I seen that bottle of water trickling down. I'm like, I guess nobody's going to pick it up. I'll pick it up. But your expectancy has everything to do with what you will receive in life. It's the same way. When you come to church, you ought to come to church with a high level of expectancy. You ought to come to church with an expectant heart, knowing, hey, you know what? God is going to show up and God's going to meet my need tonight. Don't ever come to church expecting that it's going to be the same old routines with the same old traditions. But as I travel around this great country, I have the opportunity of going into so many churches. And I pick up, you know, some churches still have bulletins that they give out every Sunday morning to all their members. And so every once in a while, they'll give me a bulletin. And, you know, just so I don't sound like I'm a jerk or anything like that, I take the bulletin and I read through the bulletin. And every place that I go to that has those bulletins, when my eyes scan the paper to see what the events are, you know, when next Sunday or next Wednesday night come, when they have their services, it always says our normal order of services, our regular Sunday morning worship service. But let me tell you what, when you come to church on a Sunday morning, when you come to church on a Sunday night, when you come to church on First Wednesday, can somebody say amen to that? You ought to come to church with a heart of expectancy, a heart that says tonight is going to be the night for my thing, for my God. Can somebody say amen? You ought to come to church saying it's my time for my thing, for my God. And if you came tonight expecting God to touch you, I can guarantee you, like we sang just a few moments ago, He will never, ever let you down in the name of Jesus. That's why you got to come to church with a high level of expectancy. And what I've noticed is this, is that your expectancy will always be demonstrated by what you do. Many people want to sit back and they want to wait on God and wait for him to move, when the reality is this: God moves when people demonstrate their expectancy on his word by doing something. Because even though a farmer has an expectation of a harvest coming from the seed that he's sown into the ground, you know what his expectation causes him to do? It causes him to go back every day to water the soil. You see, in the same way, your expectation of the promises and the blessings of God over your life will be demonstrated by the words that you speak out of your mouth. Now, I may step on some toes here tonight, but don't let it fool you. I'll go to bed like a champ tonight. And I may step on some toes, but I've realized this. It's the truth that sets people free. And sometimes people need a strong word so that they can be set free from the bondages of the enemy. Can somebody say amen? I'm convinced that the reason many people fail to see the word of God manifest in their life is not because the seed of God's word is a dud. But the truth is, many people poison the soil in which the word has been planted by what they allow to come out of their mouth. Because even though the seed of God's word is good seed, the growth of the seed is determined by the care of the soil. Your words tonight will either speak life or death. It will either speak fear or faith. Proverbs tells us life and death is in the power of the tongue. Jesus said, by your words you are justified, or by your words you will be condemned. And so it's important to understand that Jesus was teaching his disciples about the word becoming seed, because I believe what Jesus was doing was he was planting a seed into their spirits that they could hold on to when the unexpected showed up on their life, a seed that they can hold on to. And what their responsibility was to say what Jesus said in the middle of the struggle, and that was, we are on our way to the other side. You see, your confession will always be a reflection of your mindset. And if you will keep your mindset and confession lined up with the word of God, listen to what I'm about to say, because I am not making a mistake when I say this. If you will keep your mindset and your confession lined up with the word of God, you will always overcome every storm in life without a sweat. You see, one of the biggest hindrances, I believe, to receiving what God has for us is a wrong mindset. We think we sound humble when we say, well, when I get to heaven, I'll receive everything that was promised to me by the Lord. The reality is, we don't sound humble when we speak like that. We actually sound very ignorant to what the word of God teaches. Because the truth is this: you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to receive from God. You can receive from God right now. Can somebody say amen? Can you imagine the disciples saying to Jesus after he told them, hey, Matthew, Mark, Luke, let's get into the boat. We're going to go on over to the other side. Can you imagine Matthew turning around to Jesus and saying, well, Jesus, I just want to let you know, I may not get there today, but when I get to heaven, I'll make it to the other side. And you know what? It may make no sense what I just said. And it may sound ridiculous and funny, but that's what many people in the church do today. They leave in the future what God said they can have today. Jesus didn't die. Listen, today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The one thing that separates, well, there are many things, but the one main thing that separates Christianity from every other organized religion is that our leader, our commander-in-chief, he's not 6 feet under in the grave. He's not in the tomb somewhere in the Middle East. But the Bible says when the enemy thought he had him, 3 days later, Jesus kicked a rock out of the opening and he walked out with the keys of death and hell in a grave in his hands. And the Bible says he is seated at the right hand of the Father, far above every power, far above every principality. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 says this: not only is he far above every power and principality, but the Bible says that we as children are seated in heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that means, listen, if you would catch on to this revelation, because it took me 25 years to realize I no longer have to be tossed and harassed by the devil, no longer in my life. But the moment I realized that I was seated in heavenly places, the very location the Bible says where Jesus is far above every power and far above every principality is the location that God positions you in when you become born again. So not only is Jesus far above every power and far above every principality, but as a child of God, the enemy is under your feet. Sickness and disease is under your feet. Addiction is under your feet. Everything contrary to the word of God, the only place it belongs is under your feet. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. But Jesus didn't come so that you would be saved, healed, and delivered when you get to heaven. Jesus came so that you would be saved, healed, and delivered right now on the earth. Can somebody say amen? See, it wasn't coincidence that Jesus was teaching or using this parable before he got into the boat with his disciples. Like I said a few moments ago, I believe Jesus was, planting a seed in them to hold on to because of what he knew what was coming. But let me say this. Yes, Jesus knows about everything that comes our way. But regardless of how great the storm may be that's coming into your life, let me give you some encouragement tonight. If you have a word from God, you have everything that you need to win. Because God's word will never fall short of producing what it was sent out to do. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So the Bible says, as the disciples set sail to the other side of the lake, Bible says they encounter an unexpected storm along the way. Can you imagine one moment they're enjoying a smooth sail across the Sea of Galilee, and then within minutes the scene of their life drastically changes for them, and now instead of enjoying a smooth sail across the Sea of Galilee, they're now finding themselves fighting the greatest battle of their life. And oftentimes that's what happens, and a lot of you can testify to that. Most of the time that's what happens. One moment things seem to be going great, and then the next moment it seems like you're fighting for your life. And maybe you're here today because, listen, the last thing that I ever want you to think is that I've come to preach to condemn you. I haven't come to condemn anybody. I've come to unite my faith with yours. I've come to encourage you, to let you know, hey, listen, I understand. I may not understand exactly what it is that you're going through, but I've had certain situations happen in my life. And if God delivered me out of my situation, then God is going to deliver you out of your situation. Can somebody say amen? And so maybe you're here today, and this is how your life may look like right now. Maybe the scene of your life has quickly changed without any warning, and now you find yourself fighting the greatest fight of your life. But I've come to encourage you and tell you, my friend, today, no matter how difficult and hopeless the situation may look like, the battle is not yours to fight, but the battle belongs to the Lord. And you have a word from God tonight that says you're going to make it to the other side. Can somebody shout hallelujah? You see, we've all encountered unexpected storms in life. We've all encountered unexpected events. And the truth is, we don't plan on these things happening. But just like the disciples when they were sailing across the Sea of Galilee, the Bible says, and suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake. And in the spirit realm, that's exactly how the enemy operates. He operates very similar. He tries to attack suddenly, and he tries to attack without any warning. What he tries to do is he tries to catch you off guard. And honestly, sometimes the enemy may catch us off guard. But here's the good news. Even though he may catch you off guard sometimes, the Bible says God never sleeps and God never slumbers. The Bible says God knows the end from the beginning. And because God knows the end from the beginning, he's already got a plan in motion for you to make it to the other side. You see, none of us today like to go through storms in life. But there's one interesting fact that I found out about storms. Storms are only evidence, my friend, that you are on your way to the other side. I hear people say all the time, well, I've been faithful to God my entire life, and I've done what God has asked me to do. So how come I'm going through what I'm going through? And the person who wants nothing to do with God seems to be sailing through life without any problems, without any difficulties. And let me take it a step even further. Maybe you're here today and this thought has crossed your mind, because I'll be honest with you, the thought has crossed my mind maybe once or twice. But maybe the thought has crossed your mind where you're thinking of that religious person that goes to church Sunday morning, week after week, and they lift their hands to God and they praise God in the sanctuary. But when they step outside of the sanctuary, they live and talk just like everybody else. The Bible says those are religious people who have a form of godliness, but yet they reject the power of God that can make them righteous and make them godly. Maybe you've thought to yourself, how come I'm doing everything I know to do, and they seem to be going through life without anything affecting them at all? And the truth is this, I'm about to tell you why you may be encountering some things in life and those people don't encounter it. Because the truth is, the devil is not going to concentrate his time on anybody that's not doing anything significant for the kingdom of God. He's going to concentrate on those who have a vision and a drive to expand God's kingdom. So when the enemy attacks you, understand tonight, he finds that you are a threat to his kingdom. When he attacks you, it's because he's stopping you from going somewhere. And so what that means for you today is this. You are on your way to being who God wants you to be. You are on your way to doing what God wants you to do. Maybe the enemy has attacked you with sickness and disease, and he's been putting these thoughts in your head that you're never ever going to get any better, that you're going to have to struggle with the same thing that your parents struggled with, that your grandparents struggled with. But let me tell you this, my friend, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. So not only did he set you free from any sickness and disease in the now, but he has set you free and delivered you from every generational curse in the name of Jesus. Can somebody say amen? So when the devil attacks you, it's because he knows that you are on your way to the other side, to being who God wants you to be, to doing what God wants you to do. And my friend, let me tell you this, you've just got to change your mindset. The storms that come into your life, they are not there to defeat you, but the storms that come into your life are so that you can defeat them as you make your way on over to the other side. Can somebody say amen? See, when Jesus was teaching his disciples on the word being seed, I said it a few moments ago, I believe he was planting a word into their spirits that they can hold on to. Because just like God knows about everything before it happens, I also believe God will never leave you empty-handed to fight the battles of life by yourself. But he always gives you something to hold on to. And that something that he gives you is the word of God. And let me encourage you, you can trust the word of God. See, we have a hard time letting our trust go. Why? Because the truth is, people go back on their word. Family members go back on their word. Best friends go back on their word. How many of us know politicians all go back on their word? But the Bible says we serve a God. And the Bible says we have an elder brother, and his name is Jesus. And the Bible says that God said, I have put my word above that name. Meaning, if God said you're going to go on over to the other side, then guess where you're going to end up? You're going to end up on the other side. I believe one of the mistakes that the disciples made when they were on the boat is they forgot the seed or the word that God had spoken to them. When Jesus spoke to them and said, let's cross on over to the other side, there was no doubt in his mind he was going to the other side. Like if you could hear Jesus speak, there was probably a boldness behind his voice. There was confidence behind his voice. There wasn't hesitation when he said, hey, let's get into the boat and cross on over to the other side. Because even with Jesus knowing what the disciples were about to go through on that lake, listen to what he didn't say. He didn't say, hey, you know what? Let's get into the boat. Let's get halfway across the Sea of Galilee, and that would be a perfect opportunity for a storm to come our way, to tip our boat over, and we can sink and drown in our sorrows. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus, when he said, let's cross on over to the other side, he had every intention of stepping foot on dry ground on the other side. When I went to India last year, as a matter of fact, when I get onto any plane, but I'll use the example of when I went to India. When I got on the plane in India, in Boston, I got on the plane because I was confident my plane was going to make it to the other side of the world. If there was any inkling in me that said, hey, you're going to go halfway across the Atlantic. And when you get halfway between Boston, Massachusetts, and the second best country in the world, Portugal, when you get halfway between Boston and Portugal, your plane is going to crash and your plane's going to go to the bottom of the Atlantic. Do you really think I would have got on the plane? I got on the plane because I was confident. I'm on assignment for God and my plane's going to make it to the other side of the world. So Jesus, when he spoke to his disciples and said, hey, let's get on the boat. We're going to cross on over to the other side. He had every intention of stepping on dry ground. And to say all this is sometimes on your way to where God has called you to be, you may encounter the unexpected that seems to hinder your progress in life. And it may cause a brief delay. And we can either allow this brief delay to either stop us, or we can hold on to the word that God has given us and we can push through the storm. Because if truth be known, my friend, if your relationship is not strong with God, it can be very easy to forget the word of God during the storms of life. But it's at that time that you need to pull on the reservoir of God's word that is on the inside of you. And one way that you pull on the reservoir of God's word that is on the inside of you is just by reaffirming what God has already said. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, the Lord spoke to his people and said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. And that word meditate, as I did a little bit of study, it has nothing to do with a meditation of the mind. The Hebrew word is actually the word haggah, which means to utter or to mutter under your breath. So what God was telling his people was this: stop saying what the situation is telling you and start declaring what the word of God has already said about your situation in Jesus' mighty name. Can somebody say amen? Stop saying that this sickness and disease is going to get the better of you, but start declaring that by his stripes, I am healed in Jesus' mighty name. You see, sometimes all you need is just one word from God that has been deposited into your spirit to come up out of your mouth. Because just one word from God, my friend, has the power to remove every barrier and hindrance that the enemy places in your life. Many people have lost battles in life. Why? That they were never intended to lose. Why? Because they allowed what they saw to be greater than what God spoke. You look at Numbers, I believe, chapter 13. We see the story where God told Moses, he said, send the spies, the 12 spies, into the land that I am giving them. He said, I'm giving them the land. Send them in there. All they have to do is go scope out the land, see that what I'm saying is true, and then all they have to do is bring back a report to Moses and say, hey, everything God said was true. But 10 of those spies out of the 12, when they walked into the land, they said, yeah, we've never seen, you know, the size of the cluster of grapes in the land. It was huge. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. But they came back to Moses, and this is what they said: but their cities are fortified. They have giants in the land. And because of that, you know what happened? They allowed what they saw to be greater than the word that God had spoken. God said, I'm giving you the land. But they saw the size of the giants. And they said, there is absolutely no way that we are more than able to overcome them. Only Joshua and Caleb said, hey, listen, we are more than able. Let us go in at once and possess the land. And the reason they spoke like that is because the Bible says they were of a different spirit. They were of the spirit of faith. And let me tell you what, when you operate by faith, you ever hear people say, well, you know, I walked into somebody's house one time and they had a sign on the wall that said, faith doesn't make it easy, it just makes it possible. And I heard somebody say this one time that I thought was funny. Yeah, you know an easier way than to hold up a rod over the Red Sea and to see it part? Faith not only makes it possible, but faith makes it easy in life for you to have the victory every single moment in life. Can somebody say amen? Those disciples, or those spies that entered the land of Canaan, they decided to magnify what they saw to be greater than the word of God. And I believe the fate of the disciples would have been the same as the 10 spies that were going into the land that God said that he was giving them. Why? Because they allowed the storm, they allowed what they saw to be greater than the word that Jesus said. Jesus said, let's cross on over to the other side. All they had to do was hold on to the word. But the Bible says that Jesus was on the back of the boat with his head on a cushion, sleeping. How many of you can say today, you've gone through some times in life and you feel like Jesus is literally in the back of your boat and his head is on a pillow sleeping? But you know why he's on a pillow sleeping? Because he's not worried about the situation. See, let me tell you this. When the disciples operated in fear, they got up, they started running around like a chicken with its head cut off, going crazy. And when they went crazy and they operated in fear, what happened? The storm only got greater and greater and greater. But the moment the Prince of Peace stepped into the picture, the storm immediately died. And so what happens is this, I believe this is the word that God wants for you today. What happens is this, a lot of people are running around with a spirit or an attitude of fear. When God says, I have never given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God says, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Yeah, there's times in my life I want to lose my mind. I want to go crazy. There's times in my life, and I know this may not sound spiritual, that I want to punch somebody in the mouth. But you know what? It is the peace of God that calms me. Can somebody say amen? You got to learn how to walk in peace, not in fear. I don't know. You know, how do I walk in peace? It's not anything that you've got to. All you've got to do is this. Give it over to the Lord. You know what fear is? This is fear. Sitting down at the kitchen table for 3 hours straight and running the same numbers on the same page. I got to make sure that all the numbers work out. Got to make sure I have enough of this. Got to make sure I have enough for the next 10 months. Got to make sure I have enough for the next 2 years. That's operating in a spirit of fear. When you walk in a spirit of peace, you'll just know because you are a giver, all your needs will be met according to his riches that are in glory. Can somebody say amen? But sometimes we allow what we see to be greater than what God has spoken over our lives. Sometimes we allow, and I'll just take it at this level, sometimes we allow the sickness or the disease to be greater than the word of God. When the Bible says that by his stripes you have been healed. Last year, I was driving, I said this story, in New Bedford, Massachusetts. Paul came with me to do a miracles for New England. But as I was getting ready to tell this story, I noticed that my uncle was in the service with me. And so I had to like tone it down a little bit because he probably would have walked out. He would have slammed the door on his way out. But last year, my grandmother got diagnosed with breast cancer. And so my mom gives me a phone call. And when I picked up the phone on the highway, I could tell there was something wrong with my mom. My mom, now listen, I don't know, I always say this because, you know, but I just say my mom's Portuguese and, you know, she just doesn't. Every time I pick up the phone, it's like, hello? She's like, Nathan? Like really anxious, you know? I'm like, is something wrong? She's like, no. I said, you really got to stop doing that, Mom. I said, every time you call me, I think there's something wrong. You know, I'm like, you really got to stop. You know, it's just the way they are. These Europeans, they're crazy, you know? So, but my mom calls up, and I knew there was something wrong. And I said, what's going on? She's like, your grandmother just got diagnosed with breast cancer. And so I can tell she was crying. And I said, so, when did she find this out? She said, today. And so, you know, I ask a lot of questions because I like to see where people's faith are at. So I asked my mom, I said, what were you guys doing? My mom said, well, we were all at your grandmother's house. I said, who's all of we? She said, you know, your uncle, your aunts, and a few of your cousins were all at your grandmother's house. I said, what were you guys doing there? I could tell they were crying, you know? And there's nothing wrong with crying because in the natural, it's her mom. It's all right, you know, to have emotions. But you got to overcome quickly overcome those emotions and take authority over the situation. And so my mom just tells me, you know, my grandmother gets diagnosed with breast cancer just within 2 hours. I said, what were you guys doing at grandma's house? Well, we were all telling your grandmother how much we were going to miss her. I said, oh, really? I said, the lady hasn't even been diagnosed for 24 hours. and you're already putting her 6 feet under. Man, like a holy anger rose up on the inside of me, you know? Heather, you want to help me out? A holy anger rose up on the inside of me. And so I took a detour. I think I was in Connecticut, and I said, you know what? I'm going to go to New Bedford, Massachusetts, and then I'm going to go pray for my grandmother. It's out of the way, but you know what? It's my grandmother. My grandmother and I, we didn't have a great relationship. Like, I envy those of you that have, like, great relationship with your grandparents, because I didn't have that relationship with my grandparents. And people say, well, why? You know, I was 2 years old when I moved from Portugal and I moved to New Bedford in Massachusetts. And so when I came over, everybody was already here. All my cousins were born here. You know, my aunts and uncles, they got married here. And so when they came, they all came over like 5 years ahead before my mom did. And then I was born in Portugal. Both of my brothers were born in Portugal. I had a sister who was also born in Portugal, but she passed away. She's with the Lord right now. And, you know, but when we came over to the States, I felt like we just dropped in on everybody when we came over. We were the immigrants, you know? But I did everything the right way. Came over to the U.S. I already had my resident green card, praise be to God. And I became a U.S. citizen at the age of 19. Can somebody say amen? Yes. Hallelujah. I may be Portuguese, but you cut my heart open, it bleeds red, white, and blue. And let me tell you what, God's given this nation one last reprieve. It's not over for the USA. It's not over for North America. Can somebody say amen? The devil thinks he has us right where he wants us. But let me tell you what, we have him exactly where we want him. And I believe revival is not only going to happen from coast to coast, but I believe before Jesus Christ comes back, we're going to see the greatest move of God that this world has ever seen. Can somebody say amen? You see, they're building all these new stadiums. But let me tell you what, these new stadiums are not being built so people can go entertain themselves at sporting events. These new buildings are being built so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can be preached, because the churches we have right now are not going to be able to contain the masses of crowds that come in. And so, you know, I didn't have that relationship with my grandmother, but let me tell you, she's my grandmother. I love her. And so I left and I took a detour and I went to Massachusetts and I got to my grandmother's house at 8 o'clock at night. Now, if you've ever been to New Bedford, it's nothing like Corinth, Maine. Like, I have grass in my backyard. I have like 100 yards between me and my neighbor, you know? Living in the city, I could literally stick my hand outside the window and I could touch my neighbor's house. And so when I got in, and it's not a good city. Like, it is the worst city in the state of Massachusetts. Crime, drugs, everything. And so when I got there, I rang the doorbell at 8 o'clock. You know, in the evening, my grandfather was like a three-family tenant house, home. I lived on the third floor growing up, my uncle on the second floor, and my grandmother on the first floor. So some of you are probably saying, oh, that's why you didn't have a good relationship with them. Too close for comfort. But I got there and I rang the doorbell. And my grandfather comes walking out, old Portuguese guy, big belly, no shirt on, 8 o'clock, three pieces of hair sticking out of his chest. My grandmother in the background, Gilherm, who is it? Oh, it's Gilda's son, Nathan. I said, Grandpa, what are you? I didn't even know who was at the door. I said, and you answered the door with no shirt on? Go put your shirt on. Nobody wants to see an old man with a big belly with a shirt off. Go back in the house and put your shirt on. So I walk in the house. My grandmother, what are you doing here? I said, my mom told me about what happened to you. And she said, what time? I said, probably like a couple hours ago. So what are you doing here? I come to pray for you. And she started tearing up, you know? And I said, why would you come and pray for me? Because I love you. You're my grandmother. And I said, has anybody else prayed for you? She said, no, you're the first one. I said, I'm going to pray for you. So we're going to take authority over this foul spirit of hell. We're going to command it back to hell in Jesus' mighty name. And so I started laying hands on my grandmother, started praying for her. And all of a sudden, she started praising God. And I tell you what, because a lot of people, when you begin to pray for them, what they do is they begin to cry. And you know what? Sometimes that's how people are wired. Most of the time, I've noticed women are wired by crying all the time. There's nothing wrong with crying. But let me tell you what, God is not moved because you're crying. God is moved because of faith. And so as I began to pray over my grandmother, here's a 78-year-old woman, she all of a sudden started praising God, jumping up and down. And I thought to myself, man, she's putting me to shame right now the way she's praising God. But I told her, I said, that's exactly it, Grandma. I call her Vovó. You know, in Portuguese, that's how you say it. That's exactly it, Vovó. Just go ahead and praise God. And so she began to praise God. And so all of my aunts and uncles, when they found out that I took a detour to go pray for my grandma, instead of saying, well, that, you know, instead of saying, well, I'm happy Nathan came to pray for you. No, you know what they did? They criticized me. They talked bad about me. No, thank you for coming to pray for my mother or for your grandmother. They criticized me. They talked bad about me. But my response was, I don't see any of my other cousins coming to pray for their grandmother. They told my mom, and they told my mom, they said, what does your son think? He's got something better. He's got something in his prayers that we don't have. And you know what my response to that was? I absolutely do have something that your prayers don't have, and that's the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. You see, they talked to my grandmother for like 3 hours. They talked about how they were going to miss her. You know what they did? They magnified the cancer over the word of God. I don't care if it's stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, or stage 4. Cancer has to go in the name of Jesus. Can somebody say amen to that? How it has to go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It has to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Cancer bows in the name of Jesus. Cancer cells dry up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're not like those who have no hope. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what. He's greater than cancer. He's greater than arthritis. 1 year later, my grandmother is still cancer-free. And she's alive. Can I see your daughter real quick? What's her name? Cassidy. I want to pray for her real quickly. I said this to your father a few weeks ago, but I'm even more convinced right now. He turn around, look at me. Look at me. They're scary to look at sometimes. And said this to your father. And I even told my wife many times. I said, that Parker girl, I always forget your name. I said, but the hand of the Lord is really upon that young girl. I said, there's actually more than one. Actually, that young lady right there in the blonde too. Yeah, you. You go to Highview, right? Come on down. I'm going to pray for you. And then I'm also going to do this. Macy Ward, come on down. Because every time I see you guys, there's something in my spirit that says, you guys have a desire for more. And God's going to bring you into the supernatural more in Jesus' name. All of you, I personally don't know what the Lord has for you in store. You think, and I don't say this mistakenly, you think you're going to be a teacher. You may be a teacher of the Word of God. I believe the hand of God is upon you. Hand of God is upon you. And the hand of God is upon you. And I believe that God's going to take you into a season. This is what's going to happen with all three of you. You're going to have supernatural increase and supernatural knowledge that's going to come to you. What's taken like the older generation 40 years to figure out, God's going to like download and deposit into your spirit supernaturally, and you're going to actually go further faster than a lot of the people that are in this sanctuary right now. And so I believe the Lord's going to use you. Your father's got a heart for missions, but I also believe that when God calls a certain family, I believe that the calling of the Lord follows that family. And so I believe that I believe God's got more for your father, and I believe your father's actually going to be stepping into more nations of the world. But I also believe that you're going to go further than they have I've ever gone before. And that's not an insult on them, because I know their desire. I'm a father. My desire is that my kids will always go further than what I have gone. And so I'm going to lay my hands on every single one of you. You're all going to be ministers of the gospel in one way or another. I believe you're going to be used tremendously in music, tremendously, you know, singing. When you begin to sing, I think I've only told this to one other person. I think it was Jordan one time. But I believe that your voice, that when you begin to sing and when you begin to praise God, cancers are going to fall off. Sickness and disease is going to fall off. I believe that people, addictions are going to be broken off of people. That's how God's going to use you. He's going to use you supernaturally in the mission field. God's going to open doors up for you. And for you, I honestly think in my spirit, now don't take this to the bank, I know for sure he's going to use you in the ministry. And you may be a woman evangelist, who knows that, and you may tear up the whole Northeast with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And don't worry, you know, God brings us into a season for a time. And there could be a time that I believe, you know, that you will be working as a teacher. But I also believe that your full calling is going to be working in the ministry. And you're going to pick up exactly where your daddy left off, in Jesus' name. So lift your hands, all of you, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all three of these individuals in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I release the anointing of God upon their lives in Jesus' name. Receive it now. Father, that they may win the lost, cast out devils, and heal the sick in Jesus' name. Anoint her, God. Anoint her in the name of Jesus. Be anointed in the name of Jesus. I command you in the name of Jesus. Every attack against your life, I cancel it now. In the name of Jesus, I cancel every assignment to destroy you, to discourage you. In the name of Jesus, I command it to go now in Jesus' mighty name. I actually want to pray for Paul Rogers' mother. Paul Marilyn, is that your name? Can I pray for you? I want to pray for you. I don't know anything that you're dealing with, but I feel like you have a need in your life. I don't know if it's a difficulty in your body. Maybe it could be. I don't need to know. God hasn't revealed it to me. He's just revealed me. Pray for Paul's mom. And so I'm going to pray for Paul's mom. And so if you have a need, do you have any needs in your life? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes you just got to take your time and allow the Holy Spirit to move. That's how he operates in our ministry. Every ministry is different. But you just got to be obedient to the voice of God. And what you need to take from this is this. If God knows about their situation, then he knows about my situation. If he cares about them, then he cares about me. Can somebody say amen? In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. There was a young woman in here in the church. We prayed for her back last year in December, and I had no clue. It was at a young adults meeting. We prayed for her, and I came up to her, and I just felt the Lord say, you know, pray for her so that she can have a baby. And so I started asking questions, because you don't want to go to a woman and say, hey, you know, you want to have a child? You know, that's not just what you want to do. Hey, you want a baby? You know? So I started asking her questions, you know, so it could lead to that. And then she told me I'm believing for a second baby, because I honestly said this is actually a second child, especially when you see that their child is older, you know. So, and then she started crying all of a sudden, and I knew I was hitting something. It's kind of like when God starts using you in the gifts, it's kind of like, you know, headlights going in through the fog. The more you say, the more you begin to see. And so I pray for this young lady, you know, and so her husband one day it was like 4 or 5 months later, I was away on the road. And he came up to me over there, and he's like, I just wanted to tell you the good news. And I said, what's up? He goes like this. just wanted to let you know you prayed for my wife. And I said, yeah, I remember that a few months ago. I was like, just want to let you know she's pregnant. She's going to have it. I said, what do you want? I asked her, I said, what do you want? You want a baby boy or you want a baby girl? I don't care. That's what she said. So I said, okay, hey, what do you want? I looked at the father. He said, I want a baby boy. And so we prayed. I said, Father, give them a baby boy. Guess what they had? They had a baby boy. See, God reveals things because he's ready to do something. You know what the husband told me? He goes like this, thank you so much. I said, don't thank me. I had nothing to do with it. You and your wife had everything to do with it. Don't thank me. I was just being obedient to the word of the Lord. Can somebody say amen to that? But if God knew about this situation, then God knows about your situation. Can somebody say amen to that? And you know what? I've realized in most of my services, we'll have people come down to the altar and pray for them for corporate healing. And most of the miracles and healings happen at that altar. People wait for the man of God or the preacher to call them out and think, well, you know, since God didn't say anything to the man of God about me, that he must not have nothing for me. No, he does have something for you. Bible said, this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will and we know that he hears us, we'll have the request that we've asked of him. But your expectancy has everything to do with what you receive. You may be going through the greatest storm in your life right now, but your expectancy will turn the storm around. Your expectancy in the power of God to heal you will get rid of that diabetes. Can somebody say amen? Your expectancy on the power of God to heal will get rid of that blurriness in your eye. It'll get rid of the deaf ear. Can somebody say amen? Expectancy. You come to God with a heart of expectancy, and God will never, ever, 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 ever let you down, because tonight is your time for your thing from your God. You've gone to bed way too many nights crying because of the attacks of the enemy against you, but tonight is the night where you say, devil, enough is enough. Victory has already been purchased. Victory already belongs to me. I am the healed of the Lord. And tonight, I am not going to deal with that situation ever, ever, and ever again in Jesus' mighty name. That's exactly what God wants to do. Whatever you're big enough to ask, he's big enough to do. See, some of our problems are this. We're not asking big enough. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. Not exceedingly abundantly, exceeding abundantly. My mom says, Nathan, every time you ask big. Yes, because if the Bible says you'll do exceeding abundantly, and if I think in my natural mind what is big, then imagine what God's about to do. And I believe today God wants to touch your body. For those of you that are bound by sickness and disease, hallelujah. Who's in here with a knee situation, as a matter of fact? I felt that in my spirit. It could even be a right knee. Is somebody in here? Is that a cane? I really didn't see this cane. What knee is it? Both? What is it? Exactly. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command supernatural healing right now. Complete the healing right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name, Father, supernatural healing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the restekerobosta, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I release supernatural healing right now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, every head bowed, every eye closed. There is somebody, I feel, one person in particular. You've had kidney issues. I don't even know if you've told anybody about this. I don't even know if it's like a secret thing that you've held between you and God. There's somebody in here that has a kidney issue right now. In a room of probably about 100, 150, 200 people. I felt that in my spirit just about 30 seconds ago. Who's the person right now with the kidney issue in their body? Because God's going to touch you in Jesus' name. I know I'm right. Who is that person in Jesus' name? I want to pray for you in the name of Jesus. Let me pray for you. A lot of people sometimes say, honestly, can I tell you what? I was looking for somebody that had like gray hair. And I would have never thought it was somebody as young as you. But God reveals things because he wants to do something about it. And so, I love this lady. I really don't. I know that. And I know she teaches at Highview Christian Academy. And every time I see this family, it's like, I just sense something about this family, like the anointing of God is upon them. And they have such a sweet spirit. They love Jesus. You know, sometimes you can see people and you can tell they genuinely love Jesus. Every time I see this lady, it's like, man, she genuinely loves Jesus. And so, and plus, you know, it's good to say good things about her because one of these days she's going to be my son's teacher. So I want my kid to have good grades. I say that joking around because I know sometimes we don't like standing in front of crowds. But listen, I'm not doing this to embarrass you. God reveals it because he's going to do something about it in Jesus' name. You believe the Lord can do this? Here, let me pray for you. Turn around. Let me pray for you. Like I told the girls, here, turn around this way. It's scary to look at. Let me hold your hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release healing into her kidney right now. Father, a supernatural brand new one right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be healed now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I command you, foul spirit of infirmity, get your hands off her on the authority of the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I cancel your assignment and I command you back to hell where you came from in Jesus' name. Now be healed now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now every person here that says, I have a need right now in my body physically, I need the Lord to touch. Quickly stand to your feet. Be like the woman with the issue of blood. Stand to your feet. Come down to this altar. Let me lay my hands on you. Come into contact and come into agreement with your faith. And today God's going to do for you what you've been dreaming about. Your dream becomes a reality right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Name in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I curse every infirmity right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I release healing now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Reste que robosa. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
This is how we fight our battles.
In the name of Jesus.
This is how we fight our battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how we fight our battles. This
This is how we fight our battles. Oh, this is how we fight our battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our
Listen, I'm also a firm believer that you don't have to ever deal with sickness and disease ever again in your body. Who wants to have the baby? Every time I pray, is it you? I felt that in my spirit. Nobody ever told me that. You want the baby? You want a baby boy or a baby girl? Boy. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, I curse infertility right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I loose life into your body now in Jesus' name. It goes, life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed, 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 blessed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Blessed in the name of Jesus.
Whoa. Upon me, His anointing is empowering. The kingdom of the Lord is within me, He's calling me. Heavenly,
go ahead and stand to your feet.
To be seated in heavenly places, just like heaven. Just like heaven on earth, to be walking in His favor and grace, just like heaven, just like heaven on earth. Wanna see heaven, heaven on earth.
As I travel all across this country, I tell people all the time, I think sometimes what we forget to do is we forget to show our thankfulness to God for everything that He's already given us and for everything that He's already done in our lives. Here in America, you know, we have this mentality where we get something and it's never enough. We always want more. And the good news is God is always willing to give you more. But I believe the more of God will come into your life when you begin to thank God for what you already have. Because when you begin to thank God for what you already have, see, we tell Him what we want. We tell Him our desires, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then we forget to thank Him for what we already have and what He's already done. But when you begin to thank God for what you have already, you know what it does? It reminds God of what you don't have. And God begins to go at work to bring about the next blessing into your life. And so what I want to ask you today is this. The surest way to receiving a miracle into your life, to seeing the presence of God step into your situation. The Bible says that God inhabits in the praises of His people. Some of you have said to yourself, I need a miracle. Only God could do something in my life. Well, I've got good news for you. You have right now in your possession access to compel the presence of God into any situation that you may encounter in life. And you say, well, how is that? It's by opening up your mouth and by praising God. Some of us, we call ourselves Pentecostals, right? But let me tell you what praising God is not. Praising God is not just lifting a hand. Praising God is not taking a snotted rag out of your suit coat pocket and waving it all over the air. Praising God is going to involve you to open up your mouth, to let your tongue go, and begin to praise God with your words. Because when you begin to praise God with your words, I can already see the picture in heaven. Archangel Michael and Gabriel, they're ready to jump into the scene. And Jesus puts his hand in front of them and says, this isn't a job for the angels in heaven, but my people are praising me. This is a job for their God to step into the middle of their situation. And let me tell you what, when God steps into your situation, your enemies begin to step out. And I prophesy to you today, your enemies are stepping out in the name of Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. So you go ahead and say however you want to do it. However you're in church, right? When I don't feel like praising God, well, make your body praise Him. Because we don't live according to what our body tells us to do. We live according to the spirit man. And the spirit man right now is saying, you don't feel like praising Him, but you're going to praise Him right now. And you're going to be thankful that you praised Him, because you're leaving this place, you're getting home tonight, and every power of hell that has sought your destruction, it steps out tonight in the name of Jesus. Can somebody say amen? So go ahead and lift your hands right now, begin to praise God, give Him your very best praise. And as you begin to praise God, every enemy steps out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! In the name of Jesus, hallelujah! We magnify you, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus,
something's moving, something's changing, sees glory. Feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving, something's changing. See glory.
Go ahead and sing it out.
Feel like heaven.